This is Falklands Radio News with me, Triana Smith. Today is Thursday, it's the 9th of May, and here's what's coming up in this programme. The communications regulator has issued a statement on the use of Starlink.
But I think it is, from my perspective, it's not doubted that it is a satellite terminal, and it is a terminal which has a very small aperture, and VSAT simply means very small aperture terminal.
The Bank of England interest rate has been held for the sixth consecutive month. The King has been announced as patron of the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association. And FIDC's Zachary Franklin talks about the annual report and the upcoming Economic Development Forum.
We will have one full day where we have invited three international speakers for tourism, fishing and wool. The Economic Development Forum is open, it's free to the public, anybody can turn up.
That's coming up. The communications regulator has issued a statement on the use of Starlink in the Falkland Islands. The statement reminds residents Starlink is only lawful with a VSAT licence, and the provision of broadband and internet is one of the services for which SURE has been given exclusivity of supply. It goes on to define a VSAT as a very small aperture terminal and acknowledges Starlink as different from traditional VSATs, and despite this, it's the view of the communications regulator that Starlink is a VSAT. The statement ends by saying reports have been made of individuals using Starlink terminals without the necessary licence, which costs £5,400 per year, and it's a criminal offence to do so, carries a maximum fine of £125,000, and the court may also order forfeiture of any apparatus. Chris Ball spoke with the acting regulator, Attorney General Simon Young, who explained why the statement has been released today.
We obviously are aware of issues and views circulating in the local community, particularly around Starlink services, so we thought it was appropriate to put some information out there. I think, to be honest, it's been a bit delayed. I think we should have got out there a bit earlier, but I thought it was important to just clarify the situation for everyone.
And I want to have a look at the last line in the press release. So you said, reports have been made of individuals using Starlink terminals without the necessary licence, and the communications regulator will be investigating non-compliance and has sought information from both SURE and Starlink. So does this mean that Starlink are giving you information on usage in the islands?
Certainly not yet. I've written to Starlink and I've had an exchange of correspondence primarily focused on the issue of regulatory approval and whether they need that, whether they want that, and whether they wish to apply for it, because currently they haven't made any sort of application for that. But as part of the correspondence with them, I have also asked for information about usage within the islands.
And you brought up regulatory approval. So previously we've heard you didn't believe it was needed. Where does FIG, where does Starlink stand on that now?
Well, in terms of, you know, we've never previously required any VSAT provider, any of the satellite providers, to obtain individual licenses here for regulatory sort of approval. I think there is scope for that to be done, and I think if, you know, in an ideal world, they absolutely would have an approval here, but I think operators can provide those services. The important thing is that then that the terminal, the use of the terminal, is licensed within the Falkland Islands.
And also in the statement, it says, while Starlink is different from, and in quotes, traditional VSAT, it is the view of a communications regulator that it is a VSAT. So what led you to this decision? Because this sounds like you're admitting Starlink isn't VSAT, but you're treating it as such.
Yeah, I think there's an acknowledgement that the sort of technology is a bit different, both in the way it operates. But I think it is, from my perspective, it's not doubted that it is a satellite terminal, and it is a terminal which has a very small aperture, and VSAT simply means very small aperture terminal. It means a satellite terminal, you know, smaller than the sort of dishes that we see at the Earth Station, for example.
Talking about the VSATs and the license fees, how is the pricing of the VSAT license fee set?
This goes back to the sort of policy around the legislation back in 2016. So when the current communications ordinance was in draft and was being discussed by elected members and approved by the Executive Council and then subsequently the Legislative Assembly, they discussed the policy on whether or not people should be able to self-provide VSATs. And the decision was taken that there should be a process. At the time, it refers to exceptional process, but the rationale for that is that people should be allowed to self-provide where there's a need, but that they found that wasn't in the general public interest, which at the time they felt was the exclusive license was in the general public interest, and therefore that needed to be discouraged by a setting of a fee at a level which was a disincentive. And the policy decision was to set that fee at the level of what was at the time Shure's maximum sort of domestic package,
which was in 2016 £425 a month, which afforded you 50,000 megabytes of data per month, so that's 50 gigabytes. So now a medium package at £82.50 per month gets you more than that, 62,700 megabytes, so 62 gigabytes. Do you believe the licence fee could and should be lowered?
Well, I think that is a matter ultimately for elected politicians, and I think there would need to be consultation on that, including with Shure, the exclusive licensee. I think it depends whether you accept the rationale for the level of the fee, because if the rationale is accepted, then no, the fee probably should stay at least the level that it's currently set at. Shure's packages currently are at higher than the £425 a month that it was at the time of those discussions. So, you know, arguably, if you follow that logic, the fee should increase rather than decrease. But that's a matter that needs to be considered in the round with all of the different factors, the sort of wider public interest, as well as the issues around use of this technology.
So you mentioned before, in 2016, £425 a month was the highest domestic tariff, and that you now think if we're following that logic, it should be higher. The Pro XL is £467 per month. However, that looks to be a Pro tariff rather than the domestic XL tariff, which is £198 per month.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was set at the highest tariff that was on offer from Shure at the time. And you know, so the current highest tariff is the 467. It's the Pro XL tariff, I think, is the highest advertised package. So if you follow the logic of why the fee was set at that level, then you could arguably say it should be higher. But I accept that's ultimately a matter of political choice and decision making.
And many people are asking, where does the VSAT license fee go?
So as with all sort of fees collected by sort of government agencies, they're all paid into the consolidated fund. So it goes effectively into the general fund that all government income gets paid into and is then used to support government services.
So it's not being used to pay Shure?
No, that currently isn't the case.
And license fees, how many license fees have been approved?
I think from memory, I should have checked before we spoke, but I think from memory there have been 7 licences actually issued. There are a couple more where people have just recently paid licence fees, and so there's a few more likely to be issued in the coming days.
So there shouldn't be more than about 7 Starlinks legally operating in the Falklands?
Correct.
On to legalities. What are the legalities on importing, selling and buying Starlink kit?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, I mean, I'd rather focus on the usage because, you know, it's the usage that is, you know, is not lawful without a license. And that's the thing that I would focus on. But of course, you know, I think people, you know, shouldn't import the kit unless they're prepared to obtain the necessary license to use it, because they do put themselves at risk of action.
On to OneWeb, just kind of chase you for a little update there. So at the public meeting on Monday, MLA Roger Spink read a statement from you saying the OneWeb installation is still in testing following several technical challenges being experienced which need to be resolved, and that you have no firm date on as to when this will be added into the general network, but you're expecting it to be done soon. Have Shure given you a timeline for this to go live?
We haven't got a firm timeline because, I mean, as I say, as I said in that statement, you know, sure have had some technical difficulties with getting that up and running. And I think, you know, similarly, they don't wish to promise a particular date, which is then missed if there are further challenges. But I'm hopeful that it will be done very soon. But, you know, I can't give a specific date at this time.
That was the Acting Communications Regulator, Simon Young.